Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week.
Thousands converged in Washington, D.C. to launch the national movement against fracking. It was estimated that 5,000 people participated in the Stop the Frack Attack rally and march on July 28, 2012, on the West Lawn of the Capitol. Here are some of the conversations and sounds from the event.
Time to wake up, Washington, D.C.
We've come here from around the country to send you a simple message.
Please.
We want you to ban fracking now! Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
The health and the environment is being destroyed by fracking. We've come here today from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio, West Virginia, with one simple message for you. Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilson, and I'm also known as Texas Sharon, and I'm from Texas.
I'd love to talk to you about being here. We're right at the Capitol. Stop the Frack Attack rally. So talk about, obviously, the issues around fracking, how you're involved in them, and what's most pressing for you.
What a lot of people don't realize about me, because I've become a conduit for other people's stories, but I have my own story, because I lived in Wise County in North Texas, and that's where Mitchell Energy experimented until they learned how to get oil and gas out of shale. So it literally was born in my backyard, and it cost me a great deal in because I lost my American dream too. So I've gone through so many stories of so many people who've been horribly impacted by this. I helped them learn how to document contamination on their property and wade through the very complicated maze of regulation. Then I took their case studies, I developed their stories into case studies, and I put them together for a report called Flowback: How the Texas Natural Gas Boom Affects Health and Safety. And those are the case studies that I took to the EPA in advance of their new air rules for oil and gas. Evidence from where the people, the residents, had the state test in their yard, and the chemicals detected in their yard matched the chemicals detected in their blood, and then industry still denies that they're causing any harm. So when that happens, when the chemicals in your air around your house match the chemicals in your blood, industry needs to stop denying and start fixing the problem.
What have you been finding? Because as you said, this is also your own story, as much as that you're a conduit for other people's stories. And you just talked about your own loss of the American dream. So what was that dream? What was lost? And what is this like to live in the middle of this kind of shale gas extraction?
I bought 42 acres out in the middle of nowhere. It was my American dream to live on my property with horses. I've had horses my entire life. I was born a horsewoman, not an activist. And I thought I would live on that property until I died. I had a beautiful garden. I produced a lot of my own food. I had the capability to live there on my own land without bothering anybody else. But I also had a well. And they started just drilling all around me. The closest well was 600 feet from my gate. I lost a lot of my property value, and I got to the point where I needed to invest in my living conditions. But was it the smartest thing for me to invest there, where they're going to continue, or just cut my losses and move out? And so I cut my losses and moved.
And Sharon, what have you discovered about what's happening with industry, and what are the impacts to health and to community and to a way of life?
The impacts to health are the same all across the globe. It's not just in the United States. The impacts are the same everywhere. When they move in, people start experiencing the same health symptoms: frequent bloody noses, headaches, dizziness, heart palpitations, many, many different health problems that they experience. Water, soil, and air is contaminated, but industry keeps saying that there's no proof that they're contaminating our water, that fracking is contaminating our water. But what they do is that when they go in and they have contaminated landowners' property and their water, they offer them some cash in exchange for a non-disclosure agreement, which means those records are permanently forever sealed from reporters, from scientists, from our lawmakers. And so that allows them to say there's no proof of harm, when the proof of harm, the real truth is they've been covering up their trail of pollution with these non-disclosure agreements. What we need is for our elected officials to pay attention to us and get us a good energy policy that transitions us off fossil fuels immediately.
Thank you so much. And if you could also share your blog, how we can find your blog.
Thank you. And my blog is just texassharon.com.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Tim Ruggiero, and I'm from Pilot Point, Texas, formerly of Decatur, Texas.
So let's talk about that formerly part of what you just shared with me. So you're living now where, and what's the situation with shale gas extraction in your community of Texas?
Well, all I can really share with you at this point is I would say is that my family and I are a victim of the shale, and we were fortunate enough to be able to essentially get off the shale. We no longer live on the shale. But I'm here because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other people that are trapped where they are at, trapped by shale gas drilling. I'm here with former Mayor Calvin Tillman. We are representative of ShaleTest.org. ShaleTest is a nonprofit organization, and our goal is to obviously help as many people as we can. The goal is to do baseline water testing for people that have been negatively impacted or potentially impacted by natural gas well development, to help them test their water and their air, primarily for the people that are financially not able to afford such testing. And there are literally hundreds of people out there.
Are you able to share the specifics of what it was like living at your house on the Barnett?
I can tell you that for a life, it turned a happy life into a very difficult and stressful one. But that has all since changed. We're trying to get back to, some sense of normal, that we're not having to, look out the window and wonder what's happening, today, or what kind of spill that we have to deal with today, or anything like that. Calvin Tillman and I went on a tour in April of 2010 on the Marcellus Shale. We came across quite a number of people just driving around, taking a look around at the various sites. And one of the things that we noticed was the abundance of water buffaloes, or what people call water buffaloes, which is where they get their fresh water from. And when you stop and ask those people what that is, they tell us that's their drinking water. And when you further ask them, why do you have that? More often the response is, we can't talk about it. And when somebody tells me that they can't talk about why they have a water buffalo, that tells me that they've signed a non-disclosure agreement. They have, which basically means if they're going to continue to get fresh water supplied to them, they can't talk about why they're getting it. I think it would be an interesting study to find out exactly how many non-disclosure agreements have been signed by industry and affected people as a whole, because I think that in itself would be very telling.
How has the experience shaped your perspective?
One of the commonalities, I think, what keeps pulling me back into this is the kids, is the children. I mean, most of us have families, and certainly in young children, and even those people that don't have children, it's in our genes to protect kids. So whether it's our own actual children, the way I look at it is all the children are our kids, and we have an inherent responsibility to protect them. I would say is, how dare you? How dare you put my child's life at risk? You forced her into a situation that she did not choose, and you forced us into having to make some hard choices when it comes to, really what it comes down to is, we have two choices, really. We can either stay here and continue to risk our health and that of our children, or we can leave and ruin our credit. And in the end of that, I figure is that I can always rebuild my credit. Once my child gets sick, there may not be any fixing that.
And what is your hope with this protest and rally, this march, this national Stop the Frack Attack rally? What is your hope as we move forward?
Well, my goal in particular by being here is obviously you know, some networking with some other like-minded people. But I want our politicians and our leadership to know in this country is that we're dealing with some very serious issues, and they need to take a look at the other side and having the what exactly is the impact that's being done on the people. Your right to have a job does not outweigh my right to health, and it certainly doesn't outweigh my child's right to have a happy, healthy life so that somebody might have a job. Now, I am not anti-job. It bothers me a great deal that we have millions of people that are unemployed, but job creation for the sake of health and water contamination, air contamination isn't a good trade-off.
Thank you so much, Tim Ruggiero.
Thank you very much.
All kinds of people are converging here at the Capitol for this Stop the Frack Attack rally. It's Saturday, July 28th, 2012. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Drew Hutton. I'm the president of what we call the Lock the Gate Alliance in Australia. It's the umbrella organization for all of the community-based opposition to fracking, or what you call fracking, what we call coal seam gas in Australia. And basically what our organization does is brings together people from the city and the country, farmers, environmentalists, a whole range of different groups together. And right at the core of it is the refusal by landowners to negotiate any sort of access to their land by mining companies. Well, we just continue the Gandhian style campaign that we've had. It's really a Gandhian non-cooperation and civil disobedience campaign. We've had people go to jail so far, myself included, for our opposition, but we've got people, farmers, some of the most conservative people on the planet, are actually lining up at blockades, getting arrested, refusing to allow these companies onto their land, despite the fact that the law says they have to. And so we'll be continuing with that. We'll be continuing with lawsuits where they're appropriate. We'll be continuing with lobbying. But the core of it is actually to refuse to allow these companies onto the land. And that creates a huge problem for them, because if they can't get on the land, they can't drill for gas. They can't drill for gas, they can't meet their contracts. They can't meet their contracts, their projects fall over. We've already seen one fall over already, one of the biggest ones. They're backed by Shell and PetroChina. They announced yesterday that they were not going to go ahead with investment. Now we need another three or four to do the same. We've got so much support in the state of New South Wales that in fact they'll be lucky to get on anywhere. We've got that whole state locked down with landowners who will refuse to allow them onto their properties. This movement in Australia is huge, and it will just simply get bigger. I'm from the bush myself. I've got a bit of credibility from that point of view, and I basically went out there and said, look, to farmers, you're going to get walked over. This is a tsunami coming straight at you, and unless you work with people like me and with environmentalists generally and with the city, you're going to get beaten.
Josh Fox, the director and creator of the documentary film Gasland, joins us.
There are actually quite a lot of incredible congressmen and women who are fighting the good fight, who are trying, hope against hope, to overstem this tide of money that's flooding into the building from oil and gas that is trying to outsize the people's voice. And I've heard some pronouncements in this building, and you'll see some of them in Gasland too, and echoed by my interviews in Australia, where we're talking about the fact that, the oil and gas industry are treating governments as if they are subsidiary wings of their corporations. We often think of the government as the highest power, but actually at this moment, the government is just underneath where the oil and gas world is, and that they're funneling they're just an expense. The government is an expense. When you can funnel $747 million to get an exemption to a single law, $347.75 billion spent on the Safe Drinking Water Act exemption, that's not democracy anymore. That's the government as a subsidiary of oil and gas, and that's what we're trying to fight against. And a lot of people in Congress know it. Dennis Kucinich says to me point blank in Gasland 2, our government's on the scaffold. We're living in times where we've lost the republic. These are the kinds of things that I'm hearing. And what Drew, I got education from Drew in Australia about some of the same kind of assault that's happening on the Australian democracy. Fortunately, though, they can go ahead and blockade well sites. We might spend 10 years in jail for something like that. They actually have a shot at a real people's movement. And I think we have to learn from them and emulate them and work towards the kind of solidarity that I saw when I toured Australia.
We've actually got a national movement in Australia, which is I think, a big step forward. And I hope you guys...
Well, we have a national movement as well, but There's a little bit of a different style in Australia, that's for sure.
Yes, I've been hearing about that style.
Well, I'm not quite sure what he means, but we certainly, I think, stepped up the confrontation a lot. We don't just simply lobby politicians. We acknowledge that there's an oligarchy in Australia. Yeah, these companies are the real government. Yeah, we've got a radio broadcaster who calls them the upper house. I think they're the upper house and the lower house of parliament, you know, and the government as well. And so in order to right the balance, we had to develop a people power movement, the same as you guys are doing over here.
The significance of having this Stop the Frack Attack rally, what do you think that is, Josh?
I think it's a step forward. I think we're about to embark on a tour throughout different states' capitals. We're here today in D.C. in July. We'll be in New York in August, August 25th through 27th. We're going to be in Pennsylvania for Shale Gas Outrage on September 20th. And we're looking for candidates for October. So we're going to keep going around to capitals, bringing this message. And I think that today is important to be in D.C. to tell the federal government that we're actually here and that they represent us.
Drew Hutton, and I'm the president of the Lock the Gate Alliance in Australia.
Thank you so much, Drew Hutton and Josh Fox.
My name is Jill Wehner. I work with Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. I live in the Delaware River Basin of New York State. Honored to be asked to be on the advisory council to help plan this event. And boy, the crowds are rolling in and this just looks amazing.
You are on the organizing committee for this Stop the Frack Attack rally. When did you begin organizing and what is your hope for it? And talk about some of the speakers that are on the stage right now, the people that are here.
Well, we started working on this months and months and months ago. It was not this hot when we started working on this. And it's been a really pleasant and unbelievably moving piece of work to meet all these people, because I was on a committee with people from across the country, from shale plays that are actually in play and really affected. And I'm from New York State, where there is no drilling yet, no high volume hydraulic horizontal drilling yet. And to hear the stories of the people that have been affected has been just amazing and moving and motivating.
And what is the motivation? What are you learning? And what does that mean for your own movement in New York State and for the national and the global movement?
Well, we've been down here for a couple of days now, actually lobbying, which I think is one of the most important things that we can do. Standing out and rallying is fantastic, and having people see us as a connected and collaborative force is an enormous, enormous thing that we can do for the public and to bring more people into this movement and for education. But the other part of our education is to actually educate our elected officials. And so I've been down here since Wednesday. So we spent 2 days lobbying and did some workshops. And the connections that we're making from state to state to state are very important. In order to roll this back, New York is the last place now. This is mistakenly North Carolina just allowed, unbelievably, one wrong vote, just allowed fracking in their state. New York is still in play now, and if we push that back there, if it's too dangerous for New York, it is too dangerous for everywhere. And we want to see these dominoes roll out. Wow, it's loud. This is great. That is solidarity, and this is what we have. We have solidarity with our friends across the shale. And these connections that we've made, now when Texas calls us, we will answer. When Oklahoma calls us, we will answer. When Wyoming calls, we will answer. And this is the thing, when New York calls, they will answer. And we have to stand together. New Yorkers and Pennsylvanians have been standing together and working together for a long time. Different politics, different states, but so closely related. And we share a river, we share the Delaware River, we share two rivers, because also the Susquehanna, the poor compromised Susquehanna. We need to protect the rivers, the water, the people, the health. And you know, if this shale gas is a corporate scheme to go export it overseas, what have we got? We've got nothing. We are now the third world, and
this technology is not good for us, it's not good to export the technology, and it's not good to export the gas.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Jill Wiener from the Sullivan County Catskills of New York, and she is one of the organizers of this Stop the Frack Attack, Washington, D.C., July 28th, 2012 rally and protest.
Thank you, Sabrina. No fracking.
I'm on the Think Progress bus, and they're the rescue bus. The seats are filled up at this point. We're in the march.
Andy Coleman, I'm the president of the Bus for Progress. www.busforprogress.org. So we use this bus for all kinds of progressive issues. Fracking is one that's very big right now. They're trying to bring fracking to New Jersey, where we live. They're trying to. And right now, New Jersey has a one-year moratorium on fracking. And the assembly in the Senate, New Jersey, just voted to keep fracking waste out of the state. However, the frackers are knocking on our doors, and we have to keep fighting them. So that's what we're using the bus for right now.
Well, thanks, Andy. Andy's driving this bus. Andy Coleman, president of the Bus for Progress.
Hi, I'm Vera Scroggins with Citizens for Clean Water in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania. And we're a whole group of activists and people who want to see our clean water back and our air back, our land to come back to us after it's been polluted and contaminated by the gas industry for the past 4 years. So I have a well site right now being drilled 3,000 feet from my home in the northern part of the county.
It's
by WPX Energy, and they have 20 pages of violations with the DEP for the past 2 years.
And we need to not
let companies like that come into our cities, our towns, our counties, and frack our resources. They have loads of violations. We're up to 3,300 violations and counting in Pennsylvania. When will it be enough? When will the violations be enough to stop them?
Once you frack, you can't go back. Once you frack, you can't go back. Once you frack, you can't go back. We've come here from around the country to send you a simple message.
Please.
We want you to ban fracking now. Ban fracking now. Ban fracking now. Ban fracking now. Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
Fracking waste contains radioactive chemicals. It contains known carcinogens. It is a threat to public health and the environment. It should not be created in the first place. We need you to take a strong stand. Stand up to the interests of the oil and gas industry. And ban fracking now!
Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now! Ban fracking now!
Hi, Sabrina. I'm Maxine Martinez. I'm here with Food and Water Watch, located in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I've never seen something like this. Actually, the man on the mic is our regional director, and he's awesome. And the people out here are amazing. This rally is insane. How did we find out about
this?
Food and Water Watch, I was looking for nonprofits, found their information online, went in for an interview, and they just were awesome. I like that they focus on a lot of different campaigns, but this fracking has been the issue a lot recently. Actually, they were one of the groups that helped last year ban fracking in New Jersey, so that was a big deal. It was one of the many groups that were involved in that campaign, so.
So what are your concerns about fracking?
I like water. I love the beach. Although I don't have a green thumb, but I love vegetables and fruits, and I'm concerned, you know, about our food not being edible, our water not being drinkable. It's scary to think about that. But what's scary is that a lot of people don't know what fracking is. That's even more scary.
So how do you describe fracking?
Fracking, it's a new invasive way to drill for natural gas. And in the process, it destroys the groundwater, the air. It's like a new way to pollute. It seems like companies are finding new ways to pollute and destroy our planet.
Well, thank you so much, Maxine.
You're definitely welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stop the frack attack! Can you feel it? Stop the frack!
Today with New Yorkers Against Fracking, Governor Cuomo, to send you a message. We came down to D.C. today to send a simple message to Governor Cuomo and President Obama. We want you to ban fracking now. Ban fracking now.
Ban fracking now. Ban fracking now.
I'm Wes Gillingham. I'm the program director for Catskill Mountain Keeper.
And here we are in D.C. This is the Stop the Frack Attack rally. What are your thoughts coming towards the end of the march?
This is great. It is really hot out here, and people just kept sweating and kept walking and kept chanting. Folks are coming from West Virginia, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Louisiana, Maryland, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We even had some folks from Vermont, even though they have a ban in Vermont, but they came down to support getting the exemptions taken away. And there's all these great signs, New Yorkers Against Fracking, statewide ban, the frack attack. It is a successful event.
And Wes, what are the most pressing issues right now?
Well, right now, you know, this is addressing on the federal level the fact that this industry, unlike any other industry, has the ability to go under and around some of the cornerstones of environmental policy, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, and a host of others. That should not be allowed, period, end of story. That needs to change. But there's also a lot of stories that have come here from around the country, the people in Ohio that are dealing with earthquakes, the people in New York who have a governor who thinks he's going to be president someday, probably in the back of his head. And we have all these people from different states who are looking at him about to allow it to go forward in our state of New York. Well, Ohio, those folks from Ohio, those folks from West Virginia, the folks from Maryland, they're not going to vote for him if that happens.
Thank you so much. Wes Gillingham, Catskill Mountain Keeper, the program director.
We are the people too. You can't ignore us free. We will not let you poison our water. We are the people too. You can't ignore us free.
From the kitchen table, out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel.
On Saturday, August 11th, New Yorkers organized a rally and direct action in the southern tier of the state to fight fracking in that region of New York. Please go to shaleshock.org for more information. And for more information on the Don't Frack New York campaign and the pledge to resist fracking in the state, including information about the upcoming trainings and rally on August 25th, 26th, and 27th in Albany and New York City, please go to don'tfrackny.org.
Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.